Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lorite. We had a big week last week. In 11 days, we raised $251,000. The fund drive ended yesterday morning at 11:30, and we had a successful fund drive, so that was good. We can all sit back and relax and listen to WMNF and enjoy the programs that we all paid for to help keep on the air during the fund drive. So if you made a contribution to WMNF over the last 11 days, thank you, because what we're going to hear now for the next 4 months is all because of you. So thanks for making that contribution. You can still make a contribution. I notice people are still making contributions. You can go online, go to our tip jar, go to WMNF.org. Just look for the tip jar. You can easily make a contribution there. You can also call us at 813-238-8001 and make a contribution to help keep great programs like Richard Wolf and Democracy Now! And Radioactivity and Midpoint on the air. Well, I had hoped to have a guest today, and we were planning to talk about immigration. Looks like that's not going to work out. But as we know, one of the big stories out there is the young high school students from Parkland, Florida, who are on their way to Tallahassee to lobby Tallahassee to do something about gun violence. So let's do that topic today. And we're going to open up the phone lines and ask you about solving the gun violence problem. First, here's a story from Florida Public Radio on what's on tap for today. Here's Sasha Cordner.
On Tuesday, Senate Judiciary Committee's agenda is a bill that would allow school principals and superintendents to designate certain people have firearms on school property. That could include veterans, law enforcement, or volunteers with concealed weapons permits.
Our bill is actually very surgical. It is not mandatory. It puts an option on the table for superintendents, school boards, and principals. It would only be people who are screened, people who are trained. Many of them are combat veterans that came back and been making a career in education, and many of them are responsible for the security and safety of these students, and yet they are powerless to act.
Baxley says his goal is very simple. He wants to focus on the first 5 minutes of a shooting. In the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas, the massacre that left 17 people dead and more than a dozen injured took 3 to 6 minutes.
What's happened is with our gun-free zone policy, which was well-intentioned, we have actually created a sterile target for this type of behavior. They may be crazy, but they're not stupid, and they realize there's no one there armed resistance that can deal with them. And so what happens in that first 5 minutes could make the difference of whether we have an incident or whether it turns into a massacre. During that time, law enforcement is trying to get there, set a perimeter, find out if they're looking at apprehension, they're looking at restoring order and rescuing injured people. So most of the activity has occurred in that early period.
Opponents during the bill's first committee hearing in the House raised questions about how well-trained the designated person would be in an active shooter scenario and if mental health screenings would take place. 100 Parkland students are expected to arrive in Tallahassee Tuesday and speak to lawmakers Wednesday about the need for gun control legislation. They likely would have opposed Baxley's bill backed by the NRA. Baxley says he's willing to meet with any of these students.
But I also think it's naive of them to think that we're going to solve this problem by eliminating one weapon or constraining weapons. They'll just choose other instruments.
But Plantation Democratic Senator Lauren Book disagrees with Baxley's assessment. She helped coordinate the efforts to bring the students to Tallahassee.
Everyone is entitled to their opinion, and I think that these children have seen things that none of us will ever have to endure. And I walked around that school. I looked in the windows of those classrooms. And I don't think it's naive to think that if these children are calling for what they're calling for, that that's going to stop all of these problems. They have been through things that we'll never have to experience.
As for the trip to Tallahassee, Book says she spoke to 11th grade class president Jacqueline Corrin about making that happen.
And I started talking with her about what she needed to heal and what she felt was important to do. And she told me she wanted to come to Tallahassee with 100 of her friends who also have, you know, seen things that none of us can even imagine, and wanted to work to bring about change and share their stories in Tallahassee.
When the students arrive Tuesday night, they're expected to sleep at the Civic Center in Tallahassee. Book says she'll be joining them. Then in the morning, they already have meetings scheduled with Attorney General Pam Bondi, the Senate President and House Speaker, as well as lawmakers from both sides of the aisle. Book says there's a lot to talk about so they can prevent what happened at Douglas High School.
Does that include an assault weapons ban? Yes. Does that include mental health services and mental health funding? Yes. Does that include background checks, raising the age to purchase an assault weapon if we're not working on an all-out ban? Yes. When I sat across in a hospital bed from a young man whose foot was shot and very badly injured, all he could ask for was to raise the age of which a person can purchase an assault weapon. These are things that we all have to listen to.
So far, Senate President-designate Bill Galvano says he's preparing a comprehensive package of legislation that includes new age restrictions for gun purchases and a ban on bump stocks, which can allow a semi-automatic weapon to fire like an automatic weapon with the pull of a single trigger. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sasha Kortner.
All right, so that was a Florida Public Radio story from this morning regarding what is about to happen in Tallahassee as these 100 students from Parkland, the city of Parkland, go up to Tallahassee to try to lobby on behalf of their fellow students and the victims, the 17 victims of last week's school shooting. So the question is, what do you think Tallahassee should do about gun violence, and what steps should they take to try to prevent gun violence? We heard Dennis Baxley there from Ocala, the state senator, say that one of our problems is the gun-free zone policy. I'm wondering whether or not much of where we live and where we work isn't that a gun-free zone. When you go to a daycare center or when you go to the When you go to the shopping mall or when you go out practically anywhere else, isn't there largely an absence of guns in those places? When you go to the airport, when you go to the public library, when you go to a school, when you go to a movie theater, aren't you assuming that 99% of the people have no weapons in there and that there's not a lot of armed people around? Anyway, so do you think that gun-free zones have been part of the problem? 813-239-9663. And what is a gun-free zone? So we also heard that Senator Bill Galvano may be planning to ban bump stocks. And also, reading from the Tampa Bay Times this morning, the plan would raise the legal age of possession of an assault rifle to 21 and add a three-day waiting period for all rifle purchases. It's interesting to note that it's easier to buy a rifle if you're 18 than it is to buy a handgun. If you're 18, you cannot buy a handgun here in the state of Florida, but you can buy an AR-15 rifle. So what do you think about some of the ideas that are being floated by all sides? How do you think that we can reduce gun violence? And what would you advocate that the state legislature do? We'll take a few phone calls, and then we'll play some more tape. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Larry in Sarasota. Hi, Larry. How are you? What would you like to say about gun violence?
Well, Rob, at times I disagree with you, but, you know, I'm a sportsman. I'm a fisherman, salt and fresh water. I'm a hunter. I deer hunt, hog hunt, bird hunt, but I can tell you that these AK-47s and the assault vehicles, they've got no place in society. They're not for hunting. They're not really for personal protection. Their assault weapons are made for one reason and one reason only. It's only to kill people. And, you know, I wonder if there was this much pushback in the 20s when they banned the Tommy gun.
No, there wasn't. That ban went through pretty easily as people...
So, do the same thing. If you want an AR-15 or a VersaCop, an AK-47, then make them have a special permit, just like a Tommy gun, where it's $500, a really great background check, and make it a felony if you don't. I mean, do a buyback, $1,000 per gun. Ban them. Why, we don't need them. They really have no place in society for them. I wouldn't want to be a law enforcement officer having to go against an AK-47, you know, or an AR-15. Because, you know, I don't know if you've shot many firearms. I have. I worked at a gun club for years. You can take one of those, and as quick as you could pull the trigger. No, it's not like a machine gun, but you could still fire off 60, 70 rounds in a minute. That's a lot. You know, and it's not like you and I are going to go bird hunting for ducks or turkey with that gun, or we're going to go deer hunt with it, you know? It's not even take it out to the range and let's go target practicing where there's competition.
Yeah, you'd have nothing left of your target if you were shooting game. There would be nothing left of it if you shot it with an AR-15.
Well, it's not the purpose of the gun, though. That's what I'm saying. It's not the purpose. So it's only made for one thing and one thing only. And I remember when they first came out, when the Soviets, the Berlin Wall fell, those AK-47s were selling for $69 a piece. And I thought, man, this is one big problem. You know, and they just kept letting them do it. They just kept letting them do it, and I couldn't understand that.
So, Larry, are you an NRA member, Robert? Are you an NRA member?
You know, I used to be an NRA member, but a few years back, I stopped giving them money because it's more like they're working for the gun lobbyists than they are working for the American people to protect their rights of firearms. I mean, hey, Rob, we can't own an RPG, a rocket-propelled grenade, right? You can't own those like you said.
Well, somebody's bound to make that argument, don't you think? Don't you think as time goes on that people will say arms, any kind of arm is okay?
Well, you can't. And
somebody's going to make that argument.
Any arm you want, but you've got to go through the special permitting, and then they check to see if you've still got it. Because if you don't, you're going to get busted hard.
Right? Yeah. All right, Larry, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, great to hear from you. There's Larry in Sarasota. We're asking you, what would be your approach? What would you like Tallahassee to do about guns in order to prevent more mass shootings here in the state of Florida? Let's go to Ron in Lakeland. Ron, you're on. What would you like to tell Tallahassee?
Well, I was very gratified by the previous caller. It's great to hear a huntsman and a sportsman talk about their experience leaving the NRA and advocating for safe gun laws and sensible gun laws. Unlike Representative Baxley from Ocala, as pretty and beautiful as Ocala is, they have this man who's, let's face it, Rob, he's a puppet of the NRA. I've never heard him not talk well of guns. But to get to your question, let's ban semi-automatic. That's really the problem, whether you call it an AR, an AK, whoever made it, however you modify it, whether you pump it or you stuff it, it doesn't really matter. If it's semi-automatic, it's meant for killing. And there's no religion, there's no atheist that's going to just stand on their moral principle and say, yes, let's have more killing. So thank you very much for the forum. Thanks for a great show all the time, Rob.
Okay.
And congratulations on M&F making their fundraising goal. Have a great day.
Thanks for saying that, Ron. Thank you for that. And you're listening to 88.5 FM. Let's go to Rex in St. Petersburg. Hi, Rex. What would you do about guns? What do you want the folks in Tallahassee to do?
I was never a member of the National Rifle Association, but I grew up hunting game of all different types. I still own weapons. I make sure they're locked, they're keyed up, and my children don't have access. But the biggest thing that I see is talking to my friends that are gun enthusiasts. They don't call them weapons, they call them guns. They also say that, you know, I take my AR-15 type weapon and I go out and I shoot it out on the range and it's so much fun. Okay, if you want to have fun, pay for that fun. Show an insurance policy, go through outrageous background searches, have to pay an extremely large amount of money for that weapon. And also have to have a yearly inspection and an insurance policy. Then we'll see how much fun it is. But these weapons, people don't understand that these weapons were built strictly to hunt people. It's amazing that by federal law that a duck out in the field in the marshes has more protection with three slugs allowed in the chamber than AR-15 if you're going to go hunt people.
Oh, there's those kind of limits on duck hunting. Yeah. Rex, well, yeah. That's a lot of common sense stuff. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
All right. So you've heard a lot of ideas so far. What do you think? 813-239-9663. And I'm going to read some of the emails that have come in. 813 writes, I'm starting to follow their process. How do we deal with too many guns? Well, we add more guns. That was one of the people, I think, who listened to Dennis Baxley from the state legislature. Adam Willis writes, I'm sick of hearing Florida legislators lie about the gun issue. The lawmaker kept saying that if there was someone armed, it would have been different. There was an armed safety officer on the campus of the high school in Parkland. So why didn't that armed person stop it? How many armed people have to be on a campus? Does the teacher take the gun with them to recess and lunch? Did they always carry it with them to keep it locked up? And how do you pay for all that, writes Adam. Adam, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Jason writes this, the Marjorie Douglas High School had armed guards. That negates the gun-free zone and good guy with a gun argument. Protect kids, don't protect guns, writes Jason. And Matthew writes this, don't let the term semi-automatic fool anybody. These are, in a sense, more dangerous. With fully automatic weapons, there are more misses and ammo runs out quicker. Semi-automatics save ammo and shots on target go up, writes Matthew, who says semi-automatics are much more dangerous. Greg writes this, a national health care program that includes mental health care and tighter restrictions on the access to guns are the only solutions to this public safety problem in the U.S. Don't blame the citizens of the U.S., Don John, the bogus man. Most of them want these things. Marco Rubio says, we can always have that debate, even as he is saying now is not the time. He's preventing us from having a discussion about tighter gun control laws as the NRA paid him $3 million. That's Greg's email. Thank you, Greg, for that. 813-239-9663. Jan Simpson is our phone producer today. How do you think we can stop gun violence in the U.S., and what should they do in Tallahassee? Let's go to Gino in Tampa. Hi, Gino, you're on. What would you like to say?
I'd like to say, yes, for the ones that are getting money from the NRA, mm-hmm. they need to just be voted out by the people. Everybody needs to come together and don't, I mean, be bipartisan now, definitely about this, because they're taking lives over, accepting lives over money over lives. You hear a lot of people say online, you read on Facebook, they're saying that it's a mental disease. I mean, you know, these people are mentally ill. And I look at it like this. All those other countries, you mean to tell me they have no mentally ill people? They're not doing it. And the reason why they're not doing it is because they have gun control.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, and I think a better test, too, is there a propensity for violence on the person's part? Not all mentally ill people have a propensity for violence. I think that's exactly. One of the markers that we've got to look for. We know that this kid terrorized animals in his neighborhood. So right. He had a propensity for violence, and he made violent threats, too. So it's not just being mentally ill. You've got to have that propensity for violence component on top of it.
Right. I mean, I like shooting. I like shooting guns. I don't have any, but I used to have them. And it is fun to go out and shoot shotguns and shoot at targets, but that's it. And everyone is saying that gun is made for hunting people.
Yeah. That's all right, Gino. Great point about being mentally ill, too. Thanks a lot. Why don't they have this problem in other countries? Do they not have any mentally ill people in other countries? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jose in Tampa. Jose, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi there.
Hi.
I used to work at a funeral home back in Sarasota, and I'll tell you what, I think that the politicians need to just go clean up after it one or two times, and it'll completely solve it. Because I thought guns were okay up until then, but then suddenly I was familiar with the word abattoir, which it's a butcher shop when something like that happens. Any bullet to any body is very hard, and I don't understand why the politicians don't see it that way. So I'm thinking if they actually went there and cleaned up after it, it would be great.
Jose,
they would understand.
Could you describe what you saw, if you're comfortable, could you describe what you saw in preparing a body for a funeral? That had been shot?
Oh, well, actually, I was just body pickup. I wasn't like a complete mortician or anything, but it's gross. I mean, when a bullet goes into some places, the head explodes and becomes flat. It's not like it is on TV. Let's just put it that way. It's horrific, and it's extremely uncomfortable. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't mean to drag you through it one more time and make you relive it, but Jose, thanks a lot.
No worries.
All right. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Dennis writes this. Speaking from substantial experience in the real world, both as a combat soldier and an attorney first studying the impact of criminal sanctions, and as one who has friends who bring us wild deer and hog, the NRA, which as we now know is funded by Putin, line-mouthed by Quislings and sycophants, is total BS, which only increases the threat to the public. We know what works, and it ain't what the NRA says. Listen to Larry in Sarasota, who's speaking with you. He knows of what he speaks. We cannot trust the GOP to do the right thing. Only by defeating all of them at the polls in November can beat the NRA and protect us and students, writes Dennis. 813-239-9663. Now, Kim writes, I'm an AR-15 owner. Mine is intended to protect myself and family from any human that may try to break into my home. It is my right to own whatever gun I can legally purchase, writes Kim. So what do you think about what Kim said? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Elizabeth in Riverview. Elizabeth, you're on. What would you like to say?
Yes, sir. Some of these gentlemen who have called in have some very good ideas. And as far as our legislators going to Tallahassee, let me kind of give you a personal experience. My husband was in the Air Force. He was stationed in Minot, North Dakota, and had TDY into, I've forgotten the name of the base, in South Dakota. I went over with him just because I'd never been there. We were in a bar one evening. They have open carry of weapons in South Dakota, or did at that time. This, of course, is 40, 50 years ago now. And I have never seen such a polite bar in my life. nobody was rude to anybody else. If an elbow was bumped or anything, oh, excuse me, sir, I did not mean that. I don't know if everybody having those weapons made for that.
So, Elizabeth, you're making an argument for carrying guns in public.
No, sir. I am saying that the people in Tallahassee, if they want to, ought to protect schools to the maximum. Apparently, schools are a target of these idiots now. And anything that can be done to protect the school should be done. If we have more police around there, if we have retired service people who are qualified and trained patrolling the grounds, if that will help.
So you're with Grady Judd. You're with the Polk County Sheriff, who says that we should arm people who have some training and put them in and around schools. Okay, so you're with Grady Judd. All right, Elizabeth, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.
813-239-9663. Grady Judd says that we should have more people with guns on campuses. Is that the solution? Do you agree with Elizabeth? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Is that the smartest thing? Amin writes, ban the guns. That's simple. You love guns? Join the military. Go to the battlefield or join a mercenary army like Blackwater and shoot all you want, writes Amin. And then somebody from the 352 area code says, maybe we as a nation should try the gun control laws that they have in Chicago. There are some common sense gun laws, right? Chicago's a problem because it's right next to Indiana. Indiana has some of the loosest gun laws in the nation. And you just drive over to Gary from Chicago, and you pick up the guns you want, and you drive back to Chicago. So it doesn't really help to have an island of bans on guns when you've got a community not too far away within a short drive where you can pick up all the guns you want. So that's not going to work. But 352, thanks for your thoughts. Patrick writes this, I believe there should be no weapons that shoot more than 3 shells. Those who want to protect themselves can do so with a double barrel or a single shotgun. Outlaw all automatic weapons. That's Patrick's idea. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, you're on. What would you like to say?
First of all, I want to congratulate you on the fund drive, and I want all listeners to know that the Trump budget completely eliminates all funding for all public radio and television. So that budget hasn't been enacted, but that's what Trump wants. He wants to destroy public television and public radio. Now, on this gun issue, I'm really troubled by the disconnect and the lack of honesty and transparency when people talk about why we have this violent society, and yet they don't see the obvious analogies and parallels between hunting non-human animals and like what that school shooter did. Let me just briefly explain. A hunter goes into the home habitat of non-human species who can't fight back, who never did anything to the hunter, who are just innocently going about their lives and trying to survive. What does the hunter do? Armed with overwhelming firepower, vehicles, dogs, night vision, all kinds of other tools, the hunter just decides, I'm going to kill this animal. Most of the time, even though they say it's for eating, they call it a sport, but it's just for fun. So when you look at what that crazy school shooter kid did, he walked into a place where innocent, unarmed people were doing nothing to him, and he killed them. I don't see too much of a difference, really. It's all a form of power tripping, bullying, and it shows a total disrespect for the life of other creatures, whether they be human or animal. What gives you the right to go into someone else's place and end their life? And the continuum of annual animal abuse, as you pointed out with that shooter in Southern Florida, animal abuse is an early indicator of future murderers. And so all you people that are into hunting and fishing and stuff, and then you think about what you're doing when you go to where other little creatures are that never did anything to you. And just for your fun, you put a hook in their mouth or you put a bullet in them. That, to me, as a vegan, that's just as bad
okay.
as what that school shooter did.
All right, Gary, thanks. Thanks for your thoughts. We're getting a lot of people on the air. We've had about a dozen people on the air so far, so we're going to get a whole lot more people on the air here here on Radioactivity on WMNF. Chip writes this, if mental illness is such a problem, isn't that even more reason to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, writes Chip. David writes this, who pays for the funerals, the medical expenses, the lost financial support from the family? Is that the responsibility of each victim and their family? Seems there should be a national insurance pool to support each victim of these gun crimes, regardless of whether it's a single victim or a mass murderer. And Peter writes this, more guns, more death. It's really that simple. Crimes of passion, accidents, parklands all add up to mass carnage. License guns like we license cars, and banning assault weapons, that's a no-brainer, writes Peter. Well, what do you think about what should Tallahassee be doing right now? Students from Parkland are going up to Tallahassee today to lobby the legislature to ask them to do something to reduce gun violence here in the state of Florida. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. I just want to play just a classic bit from The Daily Show from 2013 in which they were dealing with the same issue shortly after the Newtown killings. Here's John Stewart introducing John Oliver, and they're talking about what can be done about guns. This is going back to 2013. How many times have we discussed this same issue around the country? Here's John Stewart.
We're bringing the first part of a three-part series with John Oliver.
Yesterday, Americans watched in shock as even watered-down gun legislation died on the floor of the Senate. But that is exactly where it belongs, according to gun lobbyists like Philip Van Cleve of the Virginia Citizens Defense League.
The Second Amendment, you know, is sacrosanct.
You hold up this sign whenever I make a suggestion that you think is infringing upon your Second Amendment rights, okay?
Okay.
Assault weapons ban. Boom, there it is. Increased background checks. Really?
Yes.
Just for background checks?
We don't do background checks for the First Amendment.
Okay, so let's just try this one.
Okay.
Nice and easy.
Sure.
A mandatory 1 hour waiting period if you buy a gun.
Why a mandatory?
Are you kidding
okay,
me?
Unless I could see a reason. No. I can't think of anything that I support. Because at the end of the day, none of it works.
Exactly. Gun control does not work.
What if, hypothetically speaking, what if gun control could work? Which obviously it can't, so we know that it won't, so that's not a problem. But what if it could, due to that time that it did?
Okay, when was that?
Australia.
Yes, Australia. In 1996, a Conservative Prime Minister, John Howard, instituted sweeping gun control laws following a mass shooting that shocked the nation. So should we be learning from this effective example? Of course not.
I guess if we're going to go to Planet X and say it's not the United States, it's some other planet, different people, different everything, I don't know. Yeah, you know, But in the real world with human beings, it's not going to work, and gun control isn't going to work.
Unfortunately, not only is Australia actually in the real world, even their animals can holster weapons. So who was right about gun control? There was only one way to find out. Confront the man responsible.
Mr. Prime Minister, let's begin in the formal Australian way. G'day.
How do you do?
Obviously, gun control doesn't work. It can't work. It will never work. So how was your scheme a failure?
Well, my scheme was not a failure. We had a massacre at a place called Port Arthur 17 years ago, and there have been none since.
Zero gun massacres? Hold on. Did gun control actually work?
It stopped one thing. That could also be a statistical anomaly.
Yeah, it was just their mass shootings disappeared.
But there were so few of them. Whoop-dee-doo.
Whoop-dee-doo?
Yeah.
Whoop-dee-doo.
Yes. Mass shootings were rare anyhow.
Exactly. They probably barely had a massacre before 1996.
There were about 13 in the previous 18 years.
In the 18 years before Port Arthur, there were 13 mass shootings.
Yes.
So almost one a year.
Yes, I was unaware they had that many. Mass being what, more than two people at a time?
More than four.
More than four. Okay.
Whoop-de-doo.
But perhaps there were other non-whoop-de-doo side effects.
The homicide rate involving the use of guns has declined significantly by factors of up to 50 and 60%. And the incidence of youth suicides involving guns has declined dramatically.
Whoop-de-doo.
Help me out here, Philip.
Homicides with guns went down. Suicide with guns also went down. Zero mass shootings.
What did happen? Australia still has murders, rapes, and robberies, last I checked.
Unless you can get rid of 100% of crime, it's not worth doing at all.
Well, put it this way. It's illegal to have crack cocaine anywhere in the United States. Do you think if somebody really wants it, they can get their hands on crack cocaine in America?
So unless we can completely get rid of drugs, there's no point in having drug laws at all.
Let me think about that for a minute. Well, I guess effectively, it doesn't work.
You can't argue with Philip. Even his logic is bulletproof.
Well, let me put it to you this way. There are more drownings in backyards where they have pools. If they don't have a pool, there are no drownings in backyards, okay? So the U.S. has a very high number of guns. Therefore, there is going to be more chances for somebody to be killed with a gun.
Right.
Right.
Right. That's my point.
Philip might think that living in a society with dramatically reduced gun violence is a whoop-de-doo, and people in Australia couldn't agree with him more.
Whoop-de-doo!
Whoop-de-doo, mate.
Whoop-de-doo!
Whoop-de-doo, for whatever that means.
All right, so that was a classic segment from The Daily Show of a few years ago, 2013. John Oliver going to Australia, seeing how they fared once they banned assault rifles. And I'll send you, if you want, you just email me your address, and I will email you the entire series from The Daily Show. Here's our address here, dj@wmnf.org, if you want to see that entire series that The Daily Show did about banning assault rifles in Australia. Let's go back to the phones. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. We've heard from about 20 people so far. You've heard what a cross-section of the Tampa Bay area thinks. So let's go to Andy in Dunedin. Andy, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, how are you?
I'm
First
good.
Of all, the gentleman starting off the show in Sarasota made all the best points. He might be a Republican, I'm not sure, but it sure does help the cause if he was. Gun owner, worked in a gun shop, hunter, former NRA member, all the points were awesome, and I put them right up there. A couple of points. Again, where is Wayne LaPierre with all this happening? You haven't heard a thing out of this guy, and I suspect he's hiding out somewhere, probably in fear of his own life. The woman that made the sending the email about having an AR-47 to protect her home and her family, I'm sorry, but you do not have the right to own that. I mean, if I'm a pilot, do I have the right to own an A-10? You know, fighter jet?
You mean a warthog?
Do I have the right to have an army tank in my front yard? I mean, where does it end? So, I mean, if you want to protect your family and you're a gun owner, get a sawed-off shotgun. You won't even have to open your eyes to take care of business. Okay, so some of these arguments are ridiculous, and it is a fine line between being sane one day and so-called insane the next day. You know, you lose your job and family, and all of a sudden you go out and start shooting people. But it all boils down to one thing is we've just, you know, as a society, we failed ourselves big time. And it happened a long time ago. When we were growing up, Rob, people respected each other. You never heard of hardly anybody shooting one another. But we had discipline back there. Kids were disciplined to have respect at an early age so they wouldn't have to get in trouble when they got out in the real world, which is something we lack totally now. Kids can't be disciplined. God forbid they should be disciplined, you know. And now the FCC has failed us with all this violence and sex and everything on TV and the video games kids get their hands on. I mean, just so much, and so much has happened for a long time that I don't see, you know, putting things in reverse except just, you know, getting rid of at least the assault weapons would be a start.
Yeah, well, Andy, I think we've got to remember that other countries also see the same kind of videos and movies and video games that we see. I'm not a big fan of violent video games, but how do other countries still not have mass shootings? You know, in Japan, you can see very violent video games, but they don't have mass shootings.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I would like to see how much kids in other countries or even adults in other countries are exposed to these violent games, because so many things are banned in other countries. I mean, look at ingredients that go into our everyday items and stuff that they don't allow in those other countries. But I would like to see, you know, a little something on that too.
Okay, Andy, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts. All right, so wide variety of thoughts here. Let's go to Pamela in Palmetto. Pamela, thanks for calling in. What would you like to comment about guns?
Well, the first thing I want to comment on is Elizabeth saying we need all the guns in the schools. We need to listen to those students. They said it would be terrible to have guns in school because they wouldn't know who was shooting at them.
Yes, they did. That's right.
Second of all, we get rid of the assault weapons. My husband and my father and my brothers have hunted all their lives. You only need 3 bullets. Have all guns, only 3 bullets, and you reload if you have to, but you have 3 bullets to kill an animal or anything else, and that would take care of it. The other thing is, we need to listen to these students. They listed everything they wanted when they go to Tallahassee. That's what we should be doing, exactly what they're saying. They don't want to go to school and have a gun looking at them, trying to protect them. They had guns. Guns aren't the answer, and as far as mental illness, I have 3 children who have grandchildren. One is my daughter's bipolar. She is the most mild person in the world and would never, ever touch a gun. They always say you're bipolar. You're not bipolar. You've been drinking and you've gone off your medicine, maybe, and you're a man, but you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think mental illness is too simplistic. It's, yeah.
But we don't need to give I think 21 years old is great. I think the kids have it right. Listen to our children. I can't fathom what happened. I can't even fathom.
Yeah, this is a very smart group of high school students. We should listen to them. All right.
We need to band behind them. And my husband and I said, if they go to Washington, we're going with them.
Okay.
And we're from, you know, I mean, I can't.
Well, Pamela, they're going to Washington. March 24th, I think, is the date.
Okay, yeah. Right. I mean, okay. I can't believe these people who don't want to say, get rid of the NRA. It's the money. I have a stamp. Get rid of the money in Washington. And the biggest opponent of the money is the NRA. My father was in the NRA when I was in the 60s. He stopped because they weren't doing anything for hunters.
Yeah. All right, Pamela, thanks a lot.
Well,
great points.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you for your program.
Thank you. Well, there's some great points. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Diane in Tampa. Diane, what do you think about guns?
Well, you know, they say we should arm our schools. In 2014, 145 children were killed in an army school, which was well armed before the attackers. So this idea that you can arm yourself up to protect them is just not possible. Secondly, there's no reason to have these guns. When they say they're for self-protection, well, they go through doors and windows, and they have bullets that kill people. So they're going to kill their own families with these guns anyway. So none of it makes any sense. If it was logical, this killing in Pakistan was 2014, if you want to look it up. It was an army school. The kids were in an auditorium. So there's no way to arm ourselves out of this. We just got to do what Australia did, which is have common sense. And by the way, one of the kids that was in the school was British, and he said the worst thing we have to worry about are the cookie students getting the kitchen set on fire. So when you go to school in England, you don't have to worry about coming home in a coffin.
Yeah, they don't even think about it. All right, Diane, thanks a lot.
But I just thought I'd tell you about the military, because they're saying the more they arm, and it's just not true. They were armed to the teeth, and those 145 children still died.
Yeah. All right. Diane, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to Miles in Sarasota. Miles, you're on. Talk about what the legislature should do about guns.
Hey, Rob, you're a good guy, man. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. This place is nuts. This state is out of hand. I don't want to be too radical, but, oh, my God. They're off in the north. They want guns, okay? They want to keep holding on to guns regardless, okay? Who gets killed, whatever it is, okay? I think it's nuts to me. If you really want to have guns all the time, then move to Mexico. I mean, this is nuts, okay? Well, they might break my house and get me. Well, guess what? All you need is a 38. You don't need 15 MAC-10s and AR-15s to do that, you know?
Yeah, you know, Miles, I was just in Mexico. I can tell you that the only people on the streets with guns were the police. Ordinary Mexicans were just like us, unarmed.
Rob, it's crazy. Come on.
All right. Miles, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts.
Okay, buddy.
All right. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Patty writes this: I'm shocked that the normally very well-informed Elizabeth is agreeing with Sheriff Grady Judd. Arming more people is not the answer. There's an old saying that an armed society is a polite society. Is that really what we want? Everyone walking around with guns? I think not. Guns equal death, writes Patty. Patty, thanks for your thoughts. Peter writes this: I think the Constitution should be modernized by amendment. The National Guard is the militia, and we now have a standing army. The Second Amendment is an anachronism. You know, the Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary. So we don't seem to adhere to that part of the Second Amendment at all. That seems to be thrown out and never discussed. Let's go to Fran in Largo. Fran, you're on. What would you like to say?
Oh, thanks, Rob. You know, it's ironic the John Oliver piece you just had on about Australia and their solving their gun problem. I do believe I heard that the Australian Prime Minister is supposed to visit the White House on Friday. I wonder if Donald Trump's going to pick up any...
Is that true? That's great. That will be great.
I heard that, I think, on the, what's that Sunday morning show with Jane Pauley?
The CBS Sunday morning.
Yes, yes. I think I heard it on that show. I think I did.
Well, that would be perfect.
Oh, well, do you think he's going to heed any of it?
Maybe they could screen the John Oliver Daily Show segments for the president.
That's a good idea. Very good idea. But, you know, it just seems to me that we've just lost in this country our common sense. A lot of us just don't use our common sense anymore. And these kids, though, that are protesting now from the high school, they have common sense. I'm so impressed by them. I think this is what we've been needing for so long. Not just about gun control, but about nuclear weapons, about poverty. I know it's a big order. It's a lot to ask for, and they're going to need the resolve of Winston Churchill in World War II. We're all going to need it to change anything. But, I mean, this is the beginning. We've got to stick with it. We've got to stay positive. I was bummed this morning when I heard on TV that the couple that were taking care of the boy that did the shooting, they said that he had every right to own that, to have that AR-15. These people said that, and for a while there, I was thinking about this, and it just was depressing.
Yeah, we played that soundbite this morning on the MNF News, too. Yeah, they did say that.
Yeah.
They are gun people, the family that took them in.
Yes,
all right.
They are.
Fran, thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right, great to hear from you. Let's go to John in Gulfport. John, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say about what our legislature should do about guns?
Hey, good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm good.
Congratulations on the fun drive.
Well, thank you.
Quick rebuttal. As a father of two high school-age children... that's terrified every morning that they walk out the front door. A great rebuttal would be for the Grady Judds of the world who want guns in the hands of teachers, armed guards at every corner of every school. All you need to do is look back on their idol, Ronald Reagan. The man was standing on a street corner surrounded by eight of the most highly trained Secret Service men with their hands on their guns, and a gunman who shot Reagan and Jim Brady got several rounds off, and he wasn't even shot and killed.
Yeah, Hinckley shot the president and shot Brady, and Hinckley was not very sophisticated when it came to weapons, yet he was able to do tremendous damage.
Within close range.
Yeah, yeah. And, that's a great point, John. That's a great point.
That's all I had to say.
Okay, I'm glad you raised it. All right, so what do you think about that? Even despite the superior training of the Secret Service, John Hinckley was able to get close to President Reagan and almost kill him. Does that mean that the more guns we have, the better protected we'll be? Let's go to Jim in St. Pete. Jim, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, two things. One, I understand that they've pumped out tens of millions of these guns. So if you outlaw the manufacture and sale of them, I'm not sure what happens or what happened the last time they actually did that. But it just seems like it would increase the value of the gun. And, you know, I would probably prevent some people from getting their hands on them. But I'm not sure what you do about the second. If you didn't close the gun show thing, you know, I don't know what. Well, you know, what we're supposed to do about these tens of millions of these AR-15s out there. The other thing is the school officer, you know, with the gun, with a pistol,
mm-hmm.
You know, they spend a lot of their time, you know, dealing with the students having, you know, disagreements with each other and trying to, you know, instead of like being the school psychologist, that's a lot of what they do. They're not prepared to do it. If they want to seriously deal with it, they should hire ex-military who are trained, and they're basically trained killers, arm them, not, you know, walking around with the automatic weapon, but arm them in a way that they can get to them, and they can hunt down someone who comes into the school before the cops get there. Possibly they could hunt them down and engage them. But they would have to be super highly trained and, of course, very stable because you don't want...
this school in Parkland had a trained officer on staff, and he was there during the day of the shooting, but he was unable to prevent it.
A trained officer means. Yeah. You know? I mean, they should be highly trained with automatic weapons if they're going to deal with this kind of situation. But, you know, beyond that, I just think this is a disaster, and we need to ban weapons in general.
All right, Jim, thanks a lot. Let's go to Dan in Tampa. Dan, what do you think?
Real quick, Rob, he's on the right that they love the police department and the sheriff, and they love their officers and the first responders. I would imagine if you took a survey from their first responders, I would imagine most of them would not want the public with an AR-15 or an AK-47, okay? That's just my assumption. They don't want to be up against something like that, number one. And the amount of the magazines that have got, you know, 50 rounds, some of them 100 rounds and more, that's number one. Number two, they're talking about going and training teachers and arming teachers, and yet they don't want to provide teachers with pencils and pens. What they need are... they need psychologists in the classes. They need nurses to come in. They need counseling, not just for when something like this happens, but they need a counselor there to actually talk to the person. But we're trying to save a dollar at every turn today. So we can't invest in that kind of stuff. And when people say that the gun isn't the problem, the person is, like one of the callers said earlier, Rob, there are a lot of other countries that have mentally unstable people. They have bad people just like we do. The difference in them and us is we arm ours.
Yeah, we got the guns. All right,
They don't arm their people.
Yeah, Dan.
If you want to help teachers, give them psychiatrists. Give them psychologists that they can work with in these schools and such. Otherwise, you're not helping them.
Okay, Dan, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. Harvey writes this, we the people have recently been downgraded from a full to a flawed democracy, partly because of great distrust in our government. With the recent leaning toward an authoritarian police state, it seems appropriate to arm oneself against the government. If our leadership would conduct itself more like the leadership of civilized countries, perhaps there would be less distrust, and we wouldn't be forced to make the horrible ethical decision that our children's lives are less important than our right to own weapons. That's the thoughts of Harvey. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115, and we'll play your comments that you record on that number back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for your hero, Mark Biro. He's coming up next right here on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, St. Peter.